Well, Jesus here is almost at the end of his earthly ministry. In a matter of hours, Jesus will be arrested. In a matter of hours, he will be tried and convicted. In a matter of hours, Jesus will be crucified. But for 3 years, he has ministered publicly. For 3 years, he has ministered openly. For 3 years, he had taught about the kingdom, taught about the Father, taught about himself. For 3 years, he had accomplished miracles, turning water into wine, healing the sick, feeding 5,000, walking on the water, opening the eyes of the blind, even raising the dead. John, if you remember, refers to these miracles as signs. Signs because they point to his identity, because these miracles point to the fact that Jesus is the Son, that he is the eternal Son, that he is the God-man, come to rescue, come to heal, come to open eyes, come to raise the dead, come to give life. But there was a problem described in verse 37. Look at that verse again, verse 37. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. They still did not believe in him. God's people did not believe in Jesus. They did not have faith in Jesus. They did not follow Jesus. Why? Well, in some ways, that question's hard to reckon. Unlike us, they were actually there. They were with him. They were able to see Jesus. They were able to look upon his face. They were able to actually hear his voice, to listen to his teaching straight from his lips. They could actually witness his signs or talk to somebody who had witnessed them. If they wanted to, they could even go to Bethany and talk to Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And those who only heard of him, those who only heard of his teachings, heard of his signs, if they wanted to, they could have sought out Jesus. And Jesus says this about those who do believe in him. Look at verse 44. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." In other words, Jesus is saying, if you believe in him, if you believe in Jesus, then you believe in the Father. If you have faith in Jesus, then you have faith in the Father. If you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. For it is the Father who has sent the Son. And Jesus and the Father are one. The Father and the Son are one. They are distinct, yet one. They are separate, yet one. One God. So if you have faith in Jesus, you have faith in the Father. But Jesus tells us they did not believe. John tells us they did not believe. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith in Jesus. They didn't have faith in the Father. Again, why? Why? Well, John tells us that the answer is found in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah. John quotes from the prophet Isaiah. His first quote is from chapter 53 in Isaiah. And his second quote is from chapter 6, our Old Testament reading. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, Isaiah receives a vision from the Lord. Isaiah receives a vision of the Lord. Isaiah was in the temple. He was in the temple worshiping when suddenly he sees the Lord. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees the Lord exalted. He sees the Lord seated on a throne, surrounded by attendants, seraphim. And this is the cry of the seraphim. This is the cry of the attendants surrounding God's throne. They cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." in the temple, Isaiah receives a vision of heaven. And in the midst of this wonderful vision, he hears the thrice holy God cry out, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Lord, here am I. Send me." God sends Isaiah to proclaim his word. God sends Isaiah to speak his word to his people. But God tells him this: nobody's going to hear it. Nobody's going to understand it. No one's going to believe it. No one's going to take it to heart. God tells Isaiah, "I'm sending you, but eyes are going to be blind, ears are going to be deaf, hearts are going to be hardened to your message, to my word." Can you imagine? Put yourself in Isaiah's place. God has called you. God sends you with his message. God sends you with his word. And then he tells you, nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to hear. Nobody's going to believe you. That was Isaiah. And John says, that was not only Isaiah, but that was also Jesus. John says that these words were not only applied to Isaiah, but they also applied to Jesus, to Jesus' message, to Jesus' ministry, to Jesus' signs, to Jesus' word. It would fall upon deaf ears, blind eyes, hard hearts. Therefore, Jesus would not be believed in. Therefore, Jesus would not be followed. Now, here's the most difficult part of this passage. In quoting Isaiah, John shows that the closed eyes and the closed ears and the hard heart is caused by the Lord. Caused by the Lord. Look at verse 40 again. "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts." So why didn't they have faith in Jesus? Why did they not believe in Jesus? Well, John tells us, God. God shut their ears. God shut their eyes. God hardened their hearts to Jesus. The Father shut their ears. The Father shut their eyes. The Father hardened their hearts to the Son. Now, why? Why would God do that? Why would the Father do that? Well, the simple answer is this: that was his plan. And here's what I mean. That was his plan before time. That was his plan before creation, that Jesus Christ had to be rejected, that Jesus Christ had to suffer, that Jesus Christ had to die for salvation, so that sin and death would be overcome, so that reconciliation and relationship with God would be possible. And for this to happen, for Jesus to be rejected, for Jesus to suffer, for Jesus to die, hearts had to be hard. Eyes had to be blind. Ears had to be deaf. So, okay, that's the simple answer. It was God's plan. But still, why would God do that? Why would the Father harden human hearts? Why would the Father blind human eyes? Why would the Father, close ears? That doesn't seem very loving. Well, to help us understand, we have to look at cause. Cause. Primary causes, principal causes, and secondary causes. Now, God is the primary cause. God is the principal cause. God is the first cause of everything. In other words, God is sovereign. God ordains what happens, but there are also secondary causes. And let me offer a couple of examples. And here's a simple one with me. God called me to serve as your pastor. God called me and my family to Jackson, Mississippi. God called me to serve Covenant Presbyterian Church. That's the primary cause. God called me. But I was also called through a committee. A pastor search committee made up of a group of men and women called me to serve as pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church. That's a secondary cause. And you, as the congregation, called me to serve as your pastor. That's a secondary cause. So why am I pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church? God called me. Why am I pastor at Covenant Presbyterian Church? The search committee called me. Why am I pastor? You as a congregation called me. They're all true. They're all true. And here's another example that has to do with you this morning. God called you here this morning to worship him. You're here because God wanted you to be here to worship him this morning. That's a primary cause. That's a first cause. But you also had to make the decision to attend here this morning. You also had to make the decision to get up this morning. You also had to get dressed this morning. You had to drive here this morning. That's a secondary cause. So why are you in worship this morning? God called you. Why are you in worship this morning? You got up and you drove here. They're both true. They're both true. One is primary, one is secondary. God closed eyes, John tells us. God closed ears. God hardened hearts. That's a primary cause. That's a first cause. The secondary cause is sin. Sin is the secondary cause. Our sin. And both are true. Both are true. Sin is our state of being, namely our brokenness and our pride, our rebellion, our selfishness, our anger, our envy. Our sin is that which is displeasing to God, that which breaks God's law of love and separates us from God, alienates us from God. Because of our sin, eyes are blind. Because of our sin, ears are deaf. Because of our sin, hearts are hardened to Jesus. To Jesus. To his words, to his signs, to his person. So why didn't God's people believe in Jesus? Why didn't they have faith in Jesus? Well, God and sin. And the same is true today. There are those who hear about Jesus, who hear his words, who hear about his signs, and they don't believe. There are those who hear the gospel, who hear the good news of Jesus, and they don't have faith. There are those who hear that Jesus Christ has come to save, not to judge, but to save, not to condemn, but to save. That God himself has come, has taken on flesh, has died, has given life, and they don't believe. Well, why? Well, as John tells us, God and sin. Sin, which is ours. We own it. We own our sin. When you sin, it's yours. You own it. Our sin hardens our hearts. Our sin makes us blind. Our sin makes us deaf to Jesus, to the gospel. In our sin, we don't want to hear. We don't want to believe. We don't want to repent. We want to be right. In fact, we know we're right. We want to do what we want to do. We want to be in control. Because of sin, Jesus is rejected. His signs are rejected. His word is rejected. And God will let us make that choice. God will let you make that choice. God will allow anyone to choose their own way over his and live with that choice and live with the consequences of that choice. Jesus says this in verse 48. Look at verse 48 again. The one who rejected me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. Jesus speaks forgiveness. His word is forgiveness through him and in him, and because of him, you are reconciled to the Father. Jesus speaks of eternal life with him. His word is eternal life with him, life after death. He offers that to you and to the world. And when Jesus is rejected, when his word is rejected, he says there's going to be a day, the last day, that will bring judgment. And Jesus says on that last day, his word will judge. If Jesus' word of forgiveness was rejected, then there's condemnation. If Jesus' word of eternal life was rejected, then there is eternal separation. The judgment of Jesus' word is the consequence of choice, of receiving it or rejecting it. So if sin blinds us, stops up our ears, if sin hardens our heart to Jesus' word, then how do we believe? How do we follow? I mean, obviously in the New Testament, people did. Jesus had followers, including the disciples. Peter followed Jesus, and James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and others. They believed, they followed Jesus. John even tells us in verse 42 that some of the religious authorities, some of the religious leaders did respond to Jesus' word. They responded with faith. They believed in Jesus, even if they kept it hidden. So how did they believe? How did you believe? How does anybody believe? God must act. God the Spirit must act. The Holy Spirit must act. The Holy Spirit, who is co-equal with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, who is co-eternal with the Father and the Son, who is one with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit has to act in your life. The Holy Spirit has to open your eyes. The Holy Spirit has to open your ears. The Holy Spirit has to give you a new heart. A new heart. The Spirit has to break through your wall of sin and show you Jesus. Allow you to see his light, his glory, and his beauty. Allow you to hear his word. His word of life, his word of forgiveness. Give you a new heart filled with his love, overflowing with his love, so that your desire is to follow Jesus. Your desire is to obey his commandments. Your desire is to love with joy, with thanksgiving. The Spirit acts. God breaks through. Then you can believe. Then you have faith. And know this. Know this. Rest in this good news. You're not going to lose that faith. You won't lose that faith. The Spirit opened your eyes. The Spirit opened your ears. The Spirit gave you a new heart. No person can undo that, including you. Including you. You may have periods of life where your faith is stronger. You may have periods of life where you struggle with your faith. But you're not going to lose it because the Spirit has broken through. Secondly, Jesus calls you. Jesus calls the church to proclaim this gospel, to tell this good news, to tell about the faith that you have and the life that you have and the hope that you have. And to do that, we have to pray that the Spirit moves. To do that, we have got to pray that the Spirit moves. that the Spirit leads, that the Spirit opens eyes, that the Spirit opens ears, that the Spirit gives new hearts. Because we can't on our own. But it also means this. It means no matter how inadequate you might feel, no matter how underqualified you might feel, no matter how underprepared you might feel, God can use your words about your faith in Christ. God can use them. Someone coming to faith in Jesus, someone placing their faith in Jesus or not, doesn't rest on your shoulders. It's on God. This is God's grace. This is the triune God's grace that he breaks through our wall of sin and gives us new hearts and shows us the Savior, his son Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we glorify your name, for you have sent your Son. You have sent your Son to show us you, to show us your heart, to grant us salvation. Father, we glorify you in that you and the Son have sent your Spirit to break through our wall of sin, to open our eyes and show us Jesus, to open our ears, to let us hear his word, to give us new hearts so that we might love you and obey your commands. Father, draw us closer to you day by day. And Father, send us forth into the world so that we might make the name of Jesus known and that your Spirit might move. We pray for your Spirit to move through the ministry of this church, through our ministry, through your word, that those who do not know your Son, who cannot see your Son, might know him and love him and follow him just as you have led us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.